Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Welcome back to Extra Time, everybody, on Football Daily, our weekly podcast, where we go in-depth into a number of different topics. This time, it's a How to Fix episode special, because we've got two clubs, a behemoth of European football in Atletico Madrid and West Ham United. to be honest with you, we wanted to pad the episode out, and West Ham feel like they're in disarray.
Yeah, they need some fixing.
So we're going to try and fix Atletico Madrid and West Ham over the course of the next hour or so. Fingers crossed, we succeed. Who's first with Atletico Madrid as the director of football?
I am the director of football at Atletico Madrid. Dream job. Happy to take it. Currently in sixth.
Grim.
Below Getafe, Sevilla, Valencia, 13 points off the top. Not tremendous. Scored the joint fewest goals in the top half. Got 22. Along with Athletic Club. That's a goal a game.
Should have a lot more than that, though. Massively underperform next year.
Yes, I agree. But only Morata and Correa have more than two league goals. And Morata, Felix, Costa, Correa, all underperforming XG. In fact, I think only one player in the squad is like matching XG. Everybody else, it's just red numbers all the way down.
Brilliant.
XG says they have the fourth best offence in the league, just behind Barca. Their expected goal difference plus 18, but it's actually plus 7. Expected points tally 43, which would be second best, but instead they're on 36. And yes, they should be better off, but I still think there are big holes in the squad, right? So Morata's out injured now. He might miss the Liverpool game, and Costa's injured as well. So who do you play centre forward? They might have to play Felix there. They might have to play Yannick Ferreira. They brought back Yannick Ferreira Carrasco in January. Imagine sending a guy to China saying, we don't want you, you're going to China. Not even for a lot of money. It was like 25, 30 mil, right? And then a couple of years later saying, no, we actually do need you. Could you come back? It's embarrassing.
Levels of panic.
But he was pretty good for him first time round. And I think he'd be okay for him.
He was. But yeah, it's not like he went to it's not like he went to Spurs or something. Then you're getting him back. He went to China.
Do you think if you're João Felix, you're now looking at this and going, fuck, I joined the wrong club?
Maybe.
It depends what he expected. Happy with his bank balance, and he knows at his age that even if it doesn't go that well for 2-3 years, he can get another move. Probably.
And it does depend what he expected. Like, I actually think he's been really good this season. Like, if you look at his numbers, and also if you just watch him, like I thought at the beginning of the season, he's really good, and he's so young. Like, he's still 19, right? Yeah. And he's just been great. Like, his expected goal and assist numbers like 0.5 per 90, which is like, not incredible, but in Atleti, like when he's the guy who's defending a lot on the wing, creating, trying to get forward as well in a team that is a little bit dysfunctional, I think that's really, really good stuff. But yeah, I do worry about them having no out-and-out centre-forward with Morata out. So I do think I want a centre-forward and a wide player who's going to defend. That's kind of what I'm thinking about. Central midfield, I think we're fine. Like, yes, Thomas Partey might go in the summer, but bridge to be crossed when we come to it. Right now, we've got Koke, we've got Saul, we've got Partey, we've got Llorente, who's barely played.
Yeah, Llorente doesn't even play,
But I do also want a left-back to compete with Renan Lodi, because I think Lodi's pretty good, but he's been injured a lot, and we've had to play Saul there. And if you've got any wild cards, I'd be interested, because obviously, as we know, Kieran Trippier has just a groin surge. We might have some holes to fill. People could come in for Oblak or whatever. There might be problems going forward. So what have you got for me?
Okay, well, should we start at the back?
I'm happy
to start with my left back.
Me too.
Because, yeah, as Pat said, they don't really have that much cover. They've obviously got Saul that can play there. Vrchalka can also play there. But yeah, as Pat said, Renan Lodi's been quite impressive. I think he's made sort of 19 La Liga appearances, one goal, two assists, four tackles and interceptions, which is pretty good for a 21-year-old in his first year in European football. I've actually got two suggestions, one of which is a complete wild card, and then one I think is a very good suggestion, which is Sergio Reguilon. The Real Madrid Academy graduate made 22 appearances for Los Blancos last season, was really a favourite of Lopetegui prior to his sacking. 14 La Liga appearances, missed six games with injury, but really solid defender, 3.6 tackles and interceptions with a 69% tackle success rate. A very good centre-back, you'd expect to make sort of 75% of their tackles, so he was right up there. 1.4 key passes as well, 86% pass completion rate, just a very solid player. But after the capture of Ferland Mendy for €48 million, I think it was, Zidane decided Reguilon could go and be loaned out for the season. He obviously joined his ex-manager Lopetegui at Sevilla, and so far so good. So he's played 19 of their 22 La Liga games. Only five players have played more minutes, and he's got one goal and three assists. Only Benega and Navas have created more goals. And his defensive stats still look very good, despite the fact he's been asked to do more attacking this season. 3.3 tackles and interceptions, 1.1 shots, 1.8 key passes, 1.9 dribbles. So to put that in context, Andy Robertson, who's probably been the outstanding left-back in the world for the last 18 months or so, 1.3 key passes. So 0.5 more key passes per 90 and
rubbish.
Almost three times the amount of dribbles as Andy Robertson.
He is unbelievably fast.
Reguilón, yeah, he's so good. And he's so comfortable with the ball in his feet in tight situations as well. Watching some highlights of just him this morning, oh my goodness, he's so much fun to watch. And he ranks 15th in the league for the amount of players dribbled past. And that's in all positions, and second for defenders. 0.25 expected goals and assists per 90. 18th for total key passes in Spain. He's helped Sevilla to fourth. They're level on points with third place Getafe. The potential stumbling block in this move is you'd probably be like, would Real Madrid sell to Atleti?
They sold Llorente.
They sold Llorente last year. And there's a lot of players that
and Morata.
There's a lot of players in the last couple of years that have played for both clubs as well. Obviously, Morata has played for both clubs. Courtois now played for both clubs.
Teo Hernandez.
Going back a bit further, Solari, Jose Antonio Reyes, players like that. And they, yeah, were very happy to sell Llorente, who was one of their sort of up-and-coming defensive midfielders, for €32 million last year. And with Hakimi coming back, Marcelo still sticking around, Mendy now establishing himself as first choice under Zidane, I think you could potentially do a deal there. So I was quite chuffed with that selection. And then the second player I suggested is called Purvis Estupinan, who's probably one more of the future. He's at Osasuna. He's actually a Watford player.
Yeah, he is a Watford
player. But he's been on loan for four consecutive years in La Liga, and he's now at Osasuna. He's been great this year. So he's first for minutes in Osasuna's squad. They've probably defied a bit of expectations this year when many people thought they'd struggle. They're actually mid-table. One goal, three assists, 4.3 tackles and interceptions, 1.4 key passes, 1.8 dribbles. He's 10th for completed dribbles in the division, currently valued at just under £7 million. So he'd be potentially one for the future. But I think Atleti probably want to go with a more established name, and I would go with Reguilón.
Interesting.
I think Reguilón is almost impossible to top. I think that's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's likely to want to stay in Madrid as well, and they're going to sell at least one of those left backs, aren't they? And I think, unfortunately, Hakimi has probably overtaken him in terms of he's probably another fourth in the.
Though I think Hakimi will come back as a right back.
Yeah.
I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
But even if he does, he offers that cover at left back.
Yeah,
and they've already got Marcelo and Mendy there, haven't they?
Yeah.
My suggestion was a slightly more established name, Jose Gaya from Valencia.
Okay. It's about time he got a move.
But I think Valencia would be very reluctant to sell to Atletico, just because it's like admitting, isn't it? It's a bit Juventus in Serie A syndrome. It's like admitting that, okay, we're just going to sell you our top players, really. He's still only 24. Feels like he's been around forever. He is under contract until 2023, though. So he is going to cost a chunk, I think, to get out of Valencia, sort of upwards of €40 million, which is a lot, and I think probably more expensive than you could get Reguilón for. He's not that impressive statistically, but I wonder whether that is more of a fault of Valencia than his at the back. Just 15 starts this season, only 1,300 minutes in total, but still putting up three tackles and interceptions per 90. Pretty impressive. He doesn't have the best output going forward. Certainly nowhere near as good as Sergi Reguilón. Just 0.4 key passes, just about a dribble a game, being a little bit kind. He does reportedly have a release clause between the €40 and €60 million mark.
Okay.
But he signed a new contract, I believe, in 2018-19, somewhere around that. And that might have upped the release clause by another €30 million.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
So to get him out might be expensive. But I think he's a decent enough offset against Sergi Reguilón. I think that's the sort of player they'll be aiming for. Like, Jose Gaya feels like an Atletico Madrid target.
Hmm.
But I think Sergi Reguilón's the smart move, so I would go with Doogie, Sergi Reguilón, Director.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are also looking at Jose Gaya as well. Another name that I briefly thought about was Seyed Kolasinac as well. He feels like a real Simeone sort of player. But he's only featured, I think, in two of Arteta's sort of 10 or so games.
He's been injured, though.
He has been injured as well. But it looks like Saka is now sort of a really quite competent left-back. And they've, you know, got Tierney's come back from injury as well. But I don't know whether they'd be happy to let Kolasinac go. But if there's a deal to be struck there, you could potentially consider it.
Maybe. I mean, look, to me, Reguilón is the outstanding player here. The only question is, like, do we think that that's, like, blocking Lodi's development? Because he does, like you said, he does look like he kind of deserves a place. In which case, the Stupinan would be interesting. But I reckon, knowing the Potsy, I reckon they asked for big money for that guy. So I go for Reguilon. I think Reguilon's a really good signing. Let's move on. What have we got? Are we in the wide zones now?
The wide zone. I've got a couple of suggestions here.
Go for it, Joe. So
I think one player that would be an interesting pickup on a free. So I think potentially they need more than one winger, particularly if they let Tom Lamar go.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they've bought in Carrasco, but...
he's going to go back.
He might go back after 6 months.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking very low budget option could come in and have a decent enough impact is Willian.
I thought you were going to say Ryan Fraser for a minute there.
Willian, 31.
Okay.
He's out of contract in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty unclear as to whether he's got an option to extend, but I don't think he does because there's a lot of kind of debate going on between his camp and Chelsea as to whether the terms are right over a new deal or whatever. And if that was the case of an option to extend, they wouldn't need to have that. So available on a free, probably going to be a fairly chunky wage, but I think Atletico will eat that up because he's on a free. And I just think he's the sort of player that Simeone would really enjoy.
Mm.
Kind of a sort of player. When I watch Simeone systems, I kind of think they're very rigid. And the way he gets the best out of him going forward is almost like letting individuals just be brilliant and just saying, go on, do what you've got to do. And that's what I think Willian's best at, is when he's just cutting inside, shooting from ridiculous areas. You know, still got 8 goal involvements in 1,700 minutes this season, still putting up over two dribbles, nearly 2 key passes, 2.5 tackles and interceptions. And I just think that he wouldn't command a starting position every week.
Mm-hmm.
So he could come in as a sort of rotation option, give you an option in the Champions League, bit of experience in the squad. And Simeone's got a history of extending players' sort of retirement periods from what would be 32 to 34. So if you get 2 good seasons out of Willian and you spend no money on him, I think he's a really good option.
Okay.
And I think Chelsea fans might be a little bit reticent to let him go after this season, even though they've
seen his best for a while, yeah.
And that's come through. And obviously Pedro's probably going to leave. So Willian would be a good pickup, but only if he's on a free. If you've got to pay 10 mil for him, I'm not convinced.
Okay.
If he's on a free, get him in.
Fair. My option was slightly younger than Willian, but still not as young as many people that I've suggested for this podcast in the past, is Filip Kostic, 27-year-old Serbian who's playing at Eintracht Frankfurt. He's been on our radar for quite a while, obviously. Really sort of came to the fore at Groningen and then has been to Stuttgart, Hamburg and now Frankfurt. Last year under Hütter was absolutely superb. So played 34 league games, 6 goals, 10 assists. And alongside Jovic, Haller, Rebic, helped Hütter's side finish 7th, which was their best league finish since 2012-13.
Do you think that's a problem, though? Do you think that's a problem? It worries me that all of the players that have come out of Frankfurt have flopped.
To a degree, although Rebic has played quite well for AC Milan in the last month or so.
But he hasn't hit the heights I think people were expecting. Seb Haller has got 2 goals since October.
Yeah, but I do think Seb Haller is good, and I also think Luka Jovic is good. But I see... But I do have a concern as well, because I think
it's Nagelsmann syndrome.
Everyone gets so many shots. Yeah. Everyone gets so many chances, like with Hütter. They're like one of the most stylistically extreme clubs around, in that they just like... shoot relentlessly. Even their centre-backs are dribbling up the field.
Yeah, but his goal contributions in the Bundesliga have been pretty good for a while, so it's not just since Hütter came in. So the last 4 years, it's been 8 goal contributions, then 10, then 7, then 6.
Where's he actually playing, though? Is he playing as a left winger at the moment? He's played as a wing-back as well, right?
Yeah, he's played as a sort of more defensive wing-back and further forward as well. So he can do a bit of everything, and I think Simeone might appreciate that versatility. But yeah, this year again... he's probably been their best player. 19 appearances, 2 goals, 6 assists. Most minutes in the squad. No one has more than 3 assists other than him. So he's really sort of creating that. He's sort of their creative fulcrum, I should say. Third for shots as well. 0.53 expected goals and assists. But it's when you really take his stats to the entirety of the Bundesliga that you realise just how well he's playing this year. So only Lewandowski, Werner and Volland have taken more shots than him total. No one has completed more than his 50 key passes, and no one has completed more than his 62 dribbles. So he really is flying under the radar as the most, you know, outrageously performing player in the Bundesliga right now. And I don't think he's really getting the credit for him. So he's taking more shots than Kane, Vardy and Mane this year. He'd rank 6th in the Premier League for key passes. And he's only got a transfer value of £34 million and a contract lasting until 2023.
So how old is he then? Is he like
27.
Okay.
So he wouldn't be necessarily the longest term option, but I'd look at Kostic.
Okay, so for a similar fee...
Yeah, because I was going to say, do you have any other options?
For a similar fee, I think you could get Hakim Ziyech out of Ajax. I think he would be around the €40 million mark, and he's just perfectly suited for this Atletico system, I think. The ability to play centrally and wide, can play on either side, still putting up nearly four key passes per. I know it's in the Eredivisie, but he's done it in Europe as well in the Champions League. We saw it last year. I think he's around 20 goal involvements already this season. Three dribbles, 2.5 tackles and interceptions. He's pretty much everything Simeone will want in a wide man who can also operate centrally. Because that kind of 4-4-2, 4-4-1-1, however you want to play it, Ziyech could just play just off the striker, or he could play wide if you needed more attacking football. I just think Ziyech is a no-brainer for Atletico, and I can't believe they haven't moved for him sooner. Was he still only 26, I think?
26, yeah.
And yeah, why they haven't moved for him, I don't really understand.
I've seen a couple of Ajax of analysts on Twitter, which
does give the ball away a lot,
who say that he's also quite selfish and not necessarily the best team player. So like a lot of, he has outrageous shots and shot numbers consistently because he will just shoot.
But I think that's coachable. And I also think like, He does, for a guy who people say is selfish, he certainly defends a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he has pretty good defensive
and
numbers.
And his key passes are pretty good, so he's at least providing.
Like. Yeah, and in the Champions League, I thought he actually toned that down a little bit. Like, plus, if you're like a plus shooter from long range, it's kind of okay. Like, no one used to say this about Coutinho, even though Coutinho used to give the ball away constantly and still does. Like, because he takes stupid shots on from range, but he's also an above average shooter from range. So,
and I think as well, like we said about Willian, that sort of ability Simeone has just to go and be creative going forward. As long as you're doing your defensive work, I don't mind too much about where you're playing going forward. The ability to drift across the front just suits Ziyech, just the ability to create something out of nothing. And I think for a sub 50 million euro player, he'd probably cost more coming to a Premier League side than going to Atletico as well.
Yeah.
So I just think you that's a bit of business you should just get done.
Yeah. I'm just slightly concerned why no one's done it before. Because he's now, I think he's done 4 years of over 20 goal contributions.
Absolutely outrageous. My other suggestion, I did have another suggestion, but I think this one's kind of a winger come striker.
Okay.
So should we save it for the striker area?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so what are you thinking?
I mean,
here,
of
Mr.
those
director?
Well, because of what you've said, I do agree with this idea that you need a guy who can basically do something all by themselves. And I worry about Kostic. I think Kostic is a system player, a really good system player, but a system player. Willian, I worry about the wages.
Yeah,
and if he does, and his output is still not huge this season, and he's playing in a more attacking side than he would be. So to me, I think Ziyech is the guy to go for. But I will hold fire until I've heard the forwards, just because I don't want to assume we have infinite money. And and Reguilon is obviously like not cheap.
No, exactly.
So should we hear the forwards first? But I'm leaning Ziyech.
Yeah. Okay. Should I jump in?
Yeah,
well, I've got the most obvious one that I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Even though you're at the club, Mr. Director, I think Edinson Cavani,
Cavani
probably has already joined. I think there was plenty of reports, wasn't there, that he'd agreed terms.
But I can can that deal.
You can that deal.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably worth canning, to be honest. It's not the worst signing, and I think they made the right call not paying the 18 million euros that PSG wanted to get it done in January. Just wait to the summer, get it done as a free transfer, even if that means his wage goes up by 20,000 a week. It is, some of the reports said, I think that it's probably worth it than rather than paying 18 million euros. He's 32 now. I think he's had 5 or 6 injuries already this season, which is not great. I've seen hip, calf, back, groin, hamstring, and general illness noted down already. He's only started 4 games. He is a proven goal scorer, and I'm sure, like we said about the defenders, that Simeone extends that retirement period and he'd probably get a good season out of him. But I've just got images of Diego Costa when he went there, and it's okay, but is it worth it for what he's going to want, 300,000 euros a week probably, given that he's probably on about that at PSG? I think it's a risk. So if I was you, Director, I'd can that move, even though I think it's going to happen. So another suggestion I've got for him is Memphis Depay.
Ooh. Okay, we're not troubled by.
Yeah, is he coming with his treatment table?
He's coming
injury?
With the treatment table, but I think the positive of coming with the treatment table means you pay less money for him.
Okay,
and I think it's a risk worth taking because he can do everything you want in
still
that forward
pretty
line
as well.
Can still play wide, can play centrally if you need to, can drop a little bit deeper. Consistent performer in the Champions League. I think he got 4 goals in 5 games this season before his injury, something like that for Lyon. He's still doing okay in Ligue 1, sort of around the 9-10 goal involvement mark, which is absolutely fine. Last season, I think it was 10 goals, 10 assists as well. I just think that he's ready for a big club. And now with that ACL injury, I think you've probably removed the Liverpools, the Bayern Munichs, the Real Madrids and Barcelonas. So Atletico might stand a chance of getting a Memphis Depay. I know Man United have a buyback clause, which I think about 40 million euros, 50 million euros. So if you can come in around that sort of mark, maybe pay a little bit more, 55 million euros, 60 million euros, I think you stand a chance of getting him with that ACL injury, providing that Lyon have a player ready to come in, which they seem to always have. Mm. Who did they bring in this summer? Was it Guillermes?
In attack.
In winter, sorry. They brought somebody in winter to cover up some injuries. I can't remember who they let go and who
they brought in. Guimarães in midfield.
And Toussaint went out and then came back on loan, didn't he? So I think they probably have somebody lined up for Memphis already.
Okay.
He's not going to stay at Lyon forever. And I think he'd get him cheap because of that ACL injury. But it is a risk because of that ACL injury.
Yeah.
A big risk.
I'm fearful.
I'm not surprised you're fearful. Well. You should be fearful. But not the worst option, I don't think. Any other suggestions?
And we did spunk an absolute ton of money on João Felix.
Because the other name I had down was Lautaro Martinez. Yeah. I think go head-to-head with Barcelona for him.
I mean, that'd be amazing, but I'm just not sure about the money.
So expensive.
Very expensive and still only 22.
Yeah, he's going to be 100 million plus. I was thinking similar long... Well, actually quite different to you. I was thinking out-and-out nines, really, for Atleti. I strongly considered Gabi Jesus, if you could maybe get him. I thought about Raul Jimenez as well.
I don't think anyone's got a hope in hell of getting Gabi Jesus out of Man City.
So I eventually didn't set up. I also thought about Luis Muriel as well.
But in
the end, I wanted a striker who would come with a sort of degree of creativity too, because they're only taking 12.3 shots per game, which is seventh in the division at Atleti. So I've gone for Andrei Kramaric. He's been on the scene for quite a while.
He's getting on a bit now.
28. So a year older than my other suggestion of Kostic. But since his sort of establishment in the Bundesliga with Hoffenheim, he has actually been low-key very, very good indeed. So his first year he was on loan. He went on loan during Leicester's title-winning campaign and got 5 goals in 15 appearances. Since then, 39 league goals and 19 assists in 109 league games. So 0.5 goal contributions a game for Hoffenheim. Last three seasons, his league totals have gone 15, 13 and 17.
It's 17 last season or this season?
Oh, it was last season.
So how's he doing this season? Post Nagelsmann.
This year, I knew you were going to say that and I've prepared for it. it's actually been a lot better than you'd expect. So he's had two very small knee injuries. So he's only played 11
very
games.
Very small knee injuries.
As in just like niggles.
I suggested a bloke with no ACL and Duke suggested a bloke with knee injuries.
Little niggles. And he's played 11 Bundesliga games, 6 goals, 1 assist. And Hoffenheim have sort of defied all preseason predictions and actually sit 7th, just 1 point off 5th. So they've not been too bad at all.
Mm.
And still this year, 2.9 shots, 1.7 key passes, so still really creative, 1 dribble, 0.78 expected goals and assists per 90, even in a sort of injury hit campaign.
Does he take pens? Anybody know if he takes pens?
I'm not entirely sure. But last year, he was over 1 expected goal and assists per 90. So potentially, but he's still getting 1.3 shots on target per 90. Atleti get 3.8 as a whole. And he's joint fourth. So actually, I do have his XG for pens. He's joint fourth for non-penalty XG per shot on 0.19
in the league. All right, half an hour
In the league.
That's pretty impressive.
And the first is 0.21. So he's actually doing pretty well.
Do you think that blotch on his record at Leicester will go against him though?
I think he was.
It will in the prep.
It was quite a long time ago now. He was aged 24 or so.
It was the season they won the league, right?
So he did quite well in the year that they just stayed up. I think he got 5 league goals when they just stayed up under Pearson's.
It's been outrageous every
and
year.
And then he left in January when they won the league, which I'm sure he slightly regrets. But then he's made his name at Hoffenheim and he's £34 million valuation. He's got a contract until 2022. So not the longest contract left either. And I don't think he'd break the bank. And Hoffenheim might be able to do a business as well because they've still got Belfodil, they've got Skov, they've got Jürgen Lacadia on loan from... No, I think he's permanent from Hoffenheim actually. And you've seen with big bids in the past of around the £40 million mark, they'll accept Joe Linton, Firmino, Dembélé, Schultz as well. So they do business if you come in at the right price. I just feel Kramaric is ready to go to instantly help that Atleti frontline and not necessarily... He wouldn't necessarily have to overtake Morata's place, and I don't think he'd necessarily be... He wouldn't kick up a fuss if he didn't.
Ooh. Mm. Okay, so our options here you're looking at, director, we've got...
Senor.
Kramaric. We've got Cavani still on the table, Memphis Depay, and an outlandish bid for Lautaro Martinez to compete with Barcelona, who are probably going to be looking at 120 million euros. We know Atletico have the money, but they've just spent a lot on João Felix last summer, who's already in that.
And this is going to bench Morata. This is going to bench Morata.
This benches Morata.
Or potentially, Kramaric doesn't have to.
We spent a lot of money on Morata. No, Martinez benches Morata. Yeah. I've decided that I'm going to bin your suggestions for winger because I'm going to buy Emiliano Buendia. Norwich are going down. He's perfect.
Okay.
I thought about suggesting
defends really hard, really creative, super young, great dribbler, yeah. Like solid on the ball.
Well, I've suggested
speaks Spanish.
Yeah, as our scout, okay, I think we're handing in our notice after our lack of appreciation for our winger efforts.
Well, do what you want, mate. But like,
so I wouldn't describe.
Explain that to your wife.
But I have to say, I think the director of football has done us a little bit dirty there. I wouldn't describe Wendear as an out and out winger.
I would describe him exactly as a winger. What else is he?
He comes inside.
So does Ziyech. So does Ziyech.
It's true. It's true. I mean, again, you have
Kostic to comes inside as well a bit.
But,
okay. I'm between Buendia and Ziyech, but I just think that if Norwich go down, which I assume they will, I can probably get him for a similar price to Ziyech. Yeah. And I think, well, unless a big Premier League club decides to take him. And I just think he's, what, 4 years younger? His numbers have been outrageous in a really tough league. Speaks Spanish, which helps us immediately. Like there are factors there where it just also feels much more Simeone. Mm. Like we're going to have this Argentinian kid as opposed to we're going to go and get Hakim Ziyech.
Can I suggest that for forward you bin off Cavani and actually go with any of our
forwards? I'm 100% binning off Cavani. I think Cavani's a waste of wages. I think Jesus. that's the owner. He's worried about his checkbook. Cavani's just like money down the drain from my point of view. Like we've already got that guy on the books. We've got Diego Costa. Oh, if it weren't for the ACL, Depay would be such an easy choice to make, you know? He really would.
Such a shame with
that. Kramaric is coming in there.
Can
see him just ticking at your head.
How much do you expect I'm gonna have to pay for this guy?
35? 40.
I think you're paying extra 20. You risk Memphis.
That's outrageous. Because then I just think like I'd rather go and get Ian Acho off Leicester now. Like he's actually not that dissimilar.
But I'm saying I think Leicester say no to a lot of bids for Ian Acho.
I'm wondering who goes. I'm thinking about who might go down from the Prem. You know.
Okay. Do you want Vesely?
Is Pookie gonna start?
I could imagine him going.
Do you want Vesely?
I could imagine Vesely playing.
Vesely's also coming off the back of an ACL injury, so it's Vesely or Memphis.
If only Bournemouth would get relegated, and then I'll take like three of their players. Okay, you know what?
Callum Wilson.
I'm going to take a big gamble because I think he's quite Simeone-ish. I'm going to go for Memphis.
Love it. Really
and Buendia.
What? And his whole physio team's coming with him.
Yeah, why not?
Well, so what? I picked Reguilon. Stop being such a little bitch, or you can go and scout for fucking Levante. Christ. All right, well...
Okay, what are the overall...
If we want to win the league, we need to make big decisions. So Sergio Reguilón coming in at left back, I love it. We absolutely need this. We need to compete on minimum two fronts. And right now, you do look at that squad and you're like, oh, there are loads of good players. But do you look at it and think, like, title-winning side? Mm. You have to do some mental gymnastics, right? Everyone stays fit. So that's why I'm saying Memphis is a gamble. But if he comes back to anything like the level he's been at once his ACL is healed... You have got not just a good player, but a guy who can push you on to the next level. Buendia, I just think, is just a really solid bet for the future. And if it didn't work out, you could almost certainly sell him to a Prem side another couple of years. The only debatable thing is whether a Premier League side will come in for him.
But if they will.
But if they do, that's fine. We'll go for Ziyech. So, yeah, Buendia, the other guy, and Reguilón.
Okay, that's some good work there, I think. What have we got for West Ham? Because this is a club at the other end of the spectrum.
I was just thinking a final thought on Atleti is actually them finishing in the Champions League with the money they've spent last summer, absolutely essential. And I think some of that.
I think they will, though.
Jimenez might want to leave. Koke might want to leave. Saul might want to leave if they don't.
So. Yeah, they got Saul down to a 100-year contract.
Saul,
so
he won't leave. And plus, you look at them and you're like, of the teams above them, like Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Sevilla are good. Hetafe are
punching
bad. Valencia are dog shit. Valencia are awful in every respect. They're so bad.
So harsh.
Like I don't know what's happened to Valencia, but they are bush. And I just think Atleti will easily overhaul them. But I don't know. Like the run they're on at the moment, none of their forwards can hit a barn door. So we'll see.
For sure. Thinking of forwards not being able to hit a barn door. Let's go on to West Ham.
I'm pumped for West Ham.
Actually, I have a lot of problems at both ends of the pitch, but I thought I'd just paint a brief picture because they have been a bit of a state for quite a long time, actually. So they've spent 3 years of this century in the Championship and they've only finished in the top 10 seven times, but they've only finished higher than 10th four times. This is a club that haven't had a player score over 12 goals in all competitions since 2011-12 when they're in the Championship with Carlton Cole. The last player to score over 12 in all competitions when they're in the top flight was Marlon Harewood in 2005-06 with 16.
Oh my good God, in all competitions?
In all competitions.
What about Dimi Payet?
Nope.
No, man, a lot just of banging free kicks.
Only once in the last seven seasons since getting promoted back to the top flight in 11-12 have they conceded fewer than 50 league goals in a single season, and only once have they finished with a positive goal difference, which was under Slaven Bilic in 15-16.
They're such a mess. How are they so shit?
This comes despite spending £309 million on signing since the start of 16-17, so 3.5 seasons ago. That's only £9 million less than Spurs in that period. And that's £47 million more than Wolves.
You're genuinely cross. You sound really angry.
Well, I get frustrated for the base for West Ham fans, because it must be annoying, because I think they are just poorly run. And they've only spent £50 million less than Leicester City in that time as well. And look how well Leicester are doing compared to West Ham. They are chalk and cheese at the moment. So their season so far, they did actually seem to be getting it together at the back end of 18-19. So they beat Man United, Arsenal and Spurs that season. They finished with three straight wins. They had a good summer, by all accounts, from the distance anyway. Haller came in £36 million. Fornals, 25.2. And Albion Ejiofor, 7.8. I wasn't so fussed about Ejiofor, but I thought the other two were good signings. Outgoings, they got rid of Arnautovic to China. He'd wanted to go for ages. They got 22.5.
How did Arnautovic never get 12 goals for them in all comps?
Yeah, don't know.
He seriously didn't?
No. Crazy. And I mean, they probably should have sold Arnautovic about a year before when people were offering 40, 50. But still, not the worst. Oh, Pedro Obiang left, Chicharito left, Lucas Perez, Andy Carroll, Sami Nasri. Sort of squad players on big wages that weren't really doing the business. They looked like they'd streamlined their squad. But they made some mistakes as well. They let Adrian go to Liverpool. David Martin and Roberto were brought in to replace them. Particularly Roberto did not look up to the task. They got thrashed 5-0 by City in their first game of this season, but then they went unbeaten for their next six league games. They're up to fifth. Since then, they've played 18 games. They've won three. They've drawn three and they've lost 12. They've scored 16 goals in their last 18 Premier League games and conceded 33. They have conceded three or more goals in six of their league games.
Even to Ljungberg's Arsenal, we scored three against them at their own manner.
They've only won, yeah, like, you know, the six they've won. I think that's the joint third lowest or something like that in the league, and you're level with them.
Sick.
They lost 4-0 to Oxford United in the League Cup. They've lost to West Brom in the FA Cup, so they now only have the league to play for. Obviously, Pellegrini lost his job at the end of December. Probably needed to lose his job because it wasn't working for him. But David Moyes has seen no bounce whatsoever. One win in six league games, conceding 11 goals in the process. FA Cup exit to West Brom. Problems at both ends of the pitch as well. Only Southampton, Villa and Norwich have conceded more than 43 league goals. And their 30 goals is actually the second most in the bottom 10 behind Villa, which is actually only one fewer than Everton and two fewer than Arsenal. But they're only taking 10.5 shots per game, which is 15th in the division. So they're actually being pretty clinical with the shots they get, which makes me think that Haller and their forward players just need a bit more support. If they had a more solid defence behind them, they dominate more of the ball, they push forward more often, they concede fewer chances at their end and create more at the other end.
Because Fornals isn't even really playing, right?
Like, no, exactly. He's been in and out of the side.
They have no game control whatsoever.
And Lanzini, unfortunately, since coming back from injury, I'm not really having a go at him because he's had so many of them, but hasn't looked up to his usual standard. So they do need a bit of creativity.
It doesn't help with the defence, though, like you said. I think they've got the second worst expected goals against in the entire league.
So I want you guys to focus on defence.
How are you meant to run a game when you've got, like, when you've got Rice and Noble is your midfield too every match, and Wilshere's out again until May. Like, you just can't even let your forwards. I'd rather play like Felipe Anderson
in
the midfield.
Rice needs a break. Yeah, Rice needs a serious break, because the guy is putting in 90 minutes every single week, and he's what, 21?
Yeah, exactly. And some of their goals they conceded against Brighton at the weekend, it was some of the worst defending I've seen in Premier League history, between Obiang and
Obiang's
Diop.
Gone.
Ogbonna and Diop. Not good at all. So let's focus on the defence. I want a centre-back, a right-back, and a centre-mid. And we could possibly do with a winger and striker if any come to mind. But let's focus on this defence. Does anyone want to kick off?
Centre-back. Yep. I think West Ham do not have right now the luxury of getting young players in to develop slowly over time.
Sure.
And I don't think that's David Moyes' bag either. I know he's done it in the past at Everton, and hopefully the signings of Jared Bowen, people like that, will prove me wrong. But I think at centre-half, they need someone to come in, hit the ground running, experience.
Uh-oh.
And I think this is a very West Ham signing. I think Chris Smalling would be perfect.
Smalldini.
I think Smalling this season has proven in Italy that if he's not part of that Manchester United backline, I feel like he became a little bit of a scapegoat at Manchester United. I'm sure I was part of that reason as well. I don't think I was his biggest fan at times at Manchester United. I think he could really improve the West Ham defence alongside Issa Diop. He is 30 years old. He is 30, but he is going to be cheap. Man United looking in the region of £10 million for him. He's still got 2.5 years left.
Didn't they ask for more than that from Roma?
There was rumours that Roma were willing to pay €16 million.
Bloody hell.
But that deal wasn't... I don't think it kind of went cold. Man United, I don't know whether they want to sell him permanently or what's happening there. So it's a bit of a mess. So £10 to £15 million is the sort of region I think you could probably get Chris Smalling for. It has been exceptional this season in Serie A. He's right up there for Roma's player of the season.
They tried to name him in their team of the decade.
Yeah, he's in consideration for their player of the season.
But he is in a really good side, though.
He's in a really good side, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't have to perform to the heights he has at Roma at West Ham. He's just got to solidify the back line and provide a little bit of experience, in my opinion. He's actually not been too bad on the ball this year. Okay, it's because he's in a slower division and he doesn't have the pressing like he has in the Premier League, which is definitely one of his flaws. When he's being pressed high, he can be a bit of a panicker. That's what I experienced at Manchester United anyway. But this season, you know, 90% pass success rate, 50 passes per 90, heavily involved, 3 tackles and interceptions, stepping out the line, he's scoring goals, and he does have leadership capabilities, which is something I think West Ham miss. So I think Chris Smalling for £12 to £15 million is an immediate improvement on Balbuena and Ogbonna and solidifies the back line at least for a year and a half.
Nice.
Before you can start thinking longer term. Because I just think the signing of a 19 to 20 year old centre back is great on paper, but for West Ham won't work.
Sure. And I actually think he's a very good one-on-one defender and very good in the air as well. But I'm intrigued to hear who Pat is suggesting.
I mean, I'd agree with you if you'd said, look, they can't go and get like a young like development project as a centre back, and you suggested someone who was like 27.
Yeah.
But 30 is just a little bit too far for me. And I think the wages as well. And I think they must be eating a lot of wages at the moment. Like, they must be paying Anderson, Haller, Fornals, like these guys a lot. So I've gone for a guy who's actually 22, which was slightly younger than I wanted. I kind of wanted 24, 25. And I do think there are people like maybe Ben Gibson around, like potentially you might be able to get him off Burnley, barely plays.
I think it might have been Watford had 3 bids rejected for Ben Gibson, though.
Okay.
Over the summer.
He's still Burnley's, like, I think he's their record signing. Just hasn't played at all. And Dyche is, not very keen on messing up that Tarkowski meme mix. So maybe Ben Gibson.
Well, I also think it's worth looking at whoever gets relegated in the end. Yeah. Because people always say, oh, well, you know, Man United are interested in Godfrey and, you know, Chelsea will be interested in Tyrone Mings or if Bournemouth go down. You're like, well, I kind of feel that's quite West Hammy. If Villa go down, going for Mings.
Yeah, but I think that would be a good signing for
I agree.
I think that would be totally fine. But the guy I've gone for is at Hoffenheim, Stefan Posch.
Yeah.
He's 22, 6'2", Austrian. 4.5 tackles and interceptions per 90. Last season, his tackle success was like 80%. This year, it's like 70%. But that might be a function of how he's playing. It seems like he's playing much more aggressively this season. Because while he's doing like defendery stuff, like winning 60% of his aerial duels, like winning the ball a lot, he's got a really low pass completion rate for a centre back. It's on 76%, and it's because he's constantly attempting long balls. Like, that's clearly his role, that he's been told to do that. So he's trying over 8 a game, and last year that meant he passed into the final third 5 times a match, which is more than João Moutinho, Andrew Robertson, this is this season, Yuri Tielemans, Toby Alderweireld, Harry Maguire. Like, it's ridiculous. It's now at 3, which is still pretty good. I don't think he's going to cost a lot of money out of Hoffenheim. I don't know. I reckon that you probably get him for like maximum low 20s. I reckon probably 20 mil gets it done out of Hoffenheim. So I think that he'd be a good player for them. And actually, yes, I do think they need a centre-back. But to me, their issues at centre-back will be massively helped if they sort out central midfield. Like, that's ultimately where I'd rather put more of the money. So
I would as well.
So I'd go for Posch there.
Okay, so two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
There. He's not happy with either of them. I can tell you.
No. I don't know a lot about Posch, if I'm totally honest, but I've been, you know, more impressed with Schreuder's Hoffenheim than I thought I would be this year, considering the, you know, loss of such a class manager in Nagelsmann. But I'm actually going to go with Chris Smalling just because I think it'll be cheaper. Cheaper than Posh. I think he's got more. I think he's got a lot to offer still, and I don't mind actually having a 30-year-old centre back. I know it seems a bit over the hill, but he's still got 2-3 years, which I think is what West Ham really need.
I think you do have to move either Ogbon or Balbuena on though, if you choose to bring.
But then don't you need another centre back as well?
You definitely need four.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm bringing in Smaldini.
There's the option of bringing both those players in for me and moving one of Ogbonna and Balbuena.
Well, because you assume
Balbuena is not at that level, not a West Ham level.
He was good last year.
And they've probably got some assets that they can get rid of as well. Like I would really like to get rid of Wilshere. I'd be seriously thinking about moving Lanzini on, despite how good he is. He's too injured. Like they're probably going to get rid of one of their forwards, like whether it's Yarmolenko, Ayeti, whoever. Like Zabaleta's presumably going to go.
You think he'll be? Yeah, he'll probably retire at the end of this year.
Like, so there's a bunch of like squad places opening up.
Yeah. Talking of Zabaleta, let's get on to right back, because this has actually been a really difficult position for them this year. Because although Fredericks is much improved, his injury issues don't sort of seem to abate, and Zabaleta is now 33, 34, and definitely needs replacing at some stage. So I'm intrigued by what you've brought to the table here.
Okay, so I've gone for an older player in Smalling, I've gone for a young player at right back. I don't think there's much point in signing everybody old. So sure. I've kind of offset it a little bit here. And also Ryan Fredericks is what, 27, 28?
Yeah, he's not that old.
Quite a good age, yeah.
Yeah, he's quite sort of hitting his prime now. So I've gone for a slightly younger name and I've gone punchy, I'm not going to lie. I think this is a player slightly out of their reach, but not impossible. I've gone for Mazraoui out of Ajax.
From Ajax.
I think...
I actually know nothing about him. He's probably the player I know least about at Ajax.
I think he was heavily linked to Tottenham in January, and that might be the sort of level he's aiming at. So West Ham, unless they suddenly shoot up the table, he's probably thinking that's be a step backwards for me, particularly as I'm playing in the Champions League with Ajax. So I'm not saying this is a possibility straight off, so you're going to have to persuade him, director of football, to join. But still just 22 years of old, a very key component, particularly in the 18-19 Ajax side, which was sort of his breakthrough year in the professional game. He, quite a late developer, I would say, Mazraoui, but he is quite slight. He's not very heavily built. Very, very comfortable on the ball. I think that's his best asset. Very good passer into the midfield, which is something they sometimes lack. I know that Fredericks has got a lot of passing ability into the box, hasn't he? He holds some ridiculous statistic, the most balls into the box of any West Ham player or something like that. But sometimes I think they miss that ability from the fullbacks to pass into the midfield effectively to then distribute. Maybe that's just because Noble and Rice aren't good enough at distributing. So they're not comfortable giving the ball there. But still 4.3 tackles and interceptions per 90 last season as well in the Champions League. So he can do it at that top level.
Possession-based side.
Two dribbles as well, which is really quite impressive. He has had a couple of injury problems, particularly this season. He's had a groin problem and an ankle problem, which means he has only put together something like 1,000 minutes. So he's a little bit down on where he was last season because of those injuries. But don't let that fool you, because I think Ten Hag is extremely keen to keep him. Extremely keen to keep him. He said on a number of occasions how he's one of his most consistent performers, very rarely puts a foot wrong, and that's something that West Ham miss. They have so many players that are so up and down. I feel like they just need a solid baseline for the fullbacks, and that's probably something that they get out of
Aaron Cresswell
quite consistently. But right back seems to be fluctuating all the time, doesn't it? So I think they just need a consistent fullback. He's done it in the Champions League. He's good age profile. I just think the issue remains as to whether you can get him over a Tottenham or over who else is looking for a right back. I can't think, but that's the sort of level he might be aiming at. And you're going to have to fend off interest from Milan's and some teams in Spain.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be a good option if you can get him. The other name I've got suggested is Kyle Walker-Peters.
I don't really rate him, man.
I don't think he's
Let's see how this loan spell goes.
I don't think he's right, but if the loan spell goes well at Southampton, then it's worth a thought, because he clearly isn't favoured by Jose.
Yeah.
If he's behind Juan Foyth in the pecking order, and Jose tried to flog Juan Foyth to Milan, didn't he?
I would also look at Juan Foyth if I was West Ham. Centre-back who could play right-back, really athletic, pretty young, got Premier League experience. Like I kind of like him.
Mm.
I think he's a good player. Yeah.
I think he is as well. He's made some unfortunate mistakes, which made... You know, his reputation's taking a bit of a hit, but
he's done some outrageous stuff as well there.
Yeah, I mean, I think his passing and his ability to bring the ball out of defence is quite rare. Okay, I like Mazraoui as a suggestion though. Pat, who've you
I've gone more obscure
okay.
For my player, because we do have Fredericks, who is peak age. So Zabaleta, I think we all assume is going to go, right? Like, into, you know...
I'd be surprised if he stays. I don't see what the bonus is.
I think he will retire, probably. Surely.
Or maybe
unless he goes back to Argentina. Pablo, enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's quite hard to go... If you go to MLS as a striker, you can just bang goals and have fun. If you go to MLS as a defender, you're like... You're just having youngsters run at you all the time. Like, it's not actually a rest, is it? It's like really difficult.
Same shit, different country.
Yeah, so I've gone for a guy called Mohamed Simakan, who is a 19-year-old. He's French Guinean. He plays for Strasbourg in Ligue 1.
They've always had a very good defence.
And he's 6'2". He can play centre-back and right-back. He's done that this season. He actually came through Marseille's academy. And he just looks like a really, really fun prospect. Big defensive numbers this season, 4.8 tackles and interceptions per 90 minutes, 80% success on tackle attempts, so you do not get past him. And you can see why. Like, when you look at him, he weirdly doesn't actually look that fast, but people just don't get past him. Mm. Like, it's one of those things where, like, a combination of positioning and athleticism means that he's so hard to get around. But he also can do a little bit going forward as well as winning 63% of his aerial duels, very solid, especially for a young player. You expect that will go up. 1.1 dribbles a game, which is really, really nice. And he's second on his team for passes into the final third too. And what I really liked about him is when I was watching some clips of him, he had a really impressive game against PSG in the autumn, which got a lot of attention for him, is that quite often when he faces pressure down the line, so he can't pass forward with his right foot, he turns inside and he passes with his left foot. And I thought that's actually really quite rare in like a teenage fullback to see them just say, I'll just go to my other foot.
Yeah, look how much Wan-Bissaka struggled with
that. It's outrageous.
He's really struggling to be able to pass off his left foot.
Yeah, and you just think if that's one thing you could work on as like a young player, just being comfortable with it. You don't have to be amazing with it, but comfortable. But he's got a really nice range of passing. You often see him like kind of draw a player in and then he'll just clip a ball over them. He can pass diagonally into the midfield. Like I say, can pass into the final third. So pretty creative guy. Very young. I think he'd cost you a pittance out of Strasbourg.
What's his name again?
It's Mohamed Simakan, or Samakon, as they say, like in France. But I assume it's not pronounced that way. So we do need some just like proven, experienced performers. But also, I look at that squad and I think it's age can creep up on you really quickly. Like, look at Spurs a few years ago. We were like, what a young team Spurs are. Spurs are now like kind of post-peak. And I look at Palace and I think we have to do everything possible not to become Palace.
Yeah. I think Mazraoui, by the way, is going to cost a chunk, like maybe close to 30, 40.
Yeah, okay. And as you said, I'd be surprised if there weren't bigger clubs than West Ham in for him as well this summer.
But sometimes you can get that guy by just being decisive. Yeah, while a team like Spurs really is like fussing about, like, oh, will we pay it, won't we? You can just go in like Haller, like Anderson, and just say, we'll pay it.
Because I think Liverpool might be looking at their fullback depth this year. I think their talk of them going for...
That's a tough sell, though.
The talk of them going for like this superstar forward, I just don't think is going to happen. They'll be looking at fullback depth, I think.
I think they'll be looking at Buendia, Liverpool.
Yeah, I think they'll be doing little bits of work.
And if Wijnaldum might want to leave, and then if one of their superstar forwards for some reason decides they want to leave, it doesn't look like it will happen, then they might be looking to get a forward in. But how did I get onto that depth? So Mazraoui might be looking at different options, but I think he's obviously the one I'm going to go to first, just because of his level of experience and his instant ability to improve West Ham, whereas I don't know whether this guy would maybe need six months, 7-8 months. But then that's not even the biggest issue either, because I do think Fredericks, when he's fit and he's playing and when he's got a run of, you know, when he's got his momentum behind him, I actually think he's a very competent player. So I'm going to go with Mazraoui, but that seems like a long shot. And then failing that, I'm very happy to bring in yours, Pat, as a second option. So we'll go with Mazraoui for now.
Okay.
And centre midfield. This is crucial, I think.
This is the biggest.
This is where you have to dump a load of cash.
This is where your money's going.
I'm happy to go quite big.
And I'll put him. Go on, Pat. You want to go first?
No, I was just going to say that actually, if you had the money, I'd say get two guys. Like, get whoever I suggest and get whoever Joe suggests as well.
I think you put the money down and you pay it for Boubacari Soumaré.
Okay.
Nearly went to Newcastle.
Don't know whether you... Yeah, this is the problem.
That would have been mental.
This is the problem. So Newcastle had a £45 million plus £10 million in add-on bid accepted by Lille.
Sorry, do you say 45 plus 10?
Yeah. So 55 overall.
Okay.
Accepted by Lille. The player then refused to join.
He didn't like the look of the training.
Well, it's actually weird because Alain Saint-Maximin was tasked with persuading him to join the club and FaceTime him, showing him around the facilities and stuff. And I think Samari politely declined. which is an interesting one. And fair play to Steve Bruce as well. He just came out and openly admitted that. Like, he was his key target in the January window, agreed a deal with Lille. They've been working all January towards it. And then Samari pulled out himself and just said no.
I'm impressed that Newcastle successfully identified him as like a midfielder to go for. It just seems like a very
Newcastle
I actually don't really like him for Newcastle. I like him a lot more for West Ham.
I think he'd be great for West Ham. I think he'd be fantastic for West Ham. And what it does give him is the option of firstly living in London, which it just is a positive for anybody coming to the UK. And I just don't, I know I've seen the chat of like Chelsea linked with him and Liverpool's linked with him. I just don't think he's quite there at that level yet. Like, I was looking at some of his stats. They are, don't get me wrong, they're impressive. But 15 starts for Lille this season, 2 tackles and interceptions, 1 dribble, 0.6 key passes, 35 passes per 90 at 90% pass accuracy. I think it was about 6 or 7 deep progressions, so it's okay.
The deep progression is good, but everything else you're a bit like...
Yeah, I was a little bit underwhelmed. Yeah. I have to say, I was a little bit underwhelmed, given that we're talking £50 million. Mm. I've seen people describing him as the next Paul Pogba coming out of France, Manchester United being linked with him, and I think it's okay, numbers-wise, and clearly he's highly coveted, so there must be something there. But I just don't think he's ready for a Liverpool to come in and just hit the ground running, or a Chelsea or a Manchester United. Potentially more Manchester United, because they're not quite at that level of midfielder where Chelsea got your Kovacic's and Loftus-Cheek still to come back. Liverpool have got a stacked midfield. So I think West Ham would be a good stepping stone. The issue is you become a bit of an Issa Diop, where you're very highly rated across the continent. You come in, West Ham doesn't quite work as a club, and your stock kind of peters out or levels out at least. Like, I was expecting Issa Diop to be a star by now and to have moved on and be at the next level club. So it is a risk for Samare, but I think West Ham are the sort of club that could pay 50 mil for a player, and they need to for a centre mid. So I'm going to put Samare on the table. My other option was Eric Pulgar at Fiorentina.
Had a great year.
My issue with this one is he only joined Fiorentina in the summer.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a bitch to get him out of there. They only paid 9 mil for him, but he is under contract until 2023 with no buyout clause. 2,000 minutes so far this season. He's been a beast. Nearly 3 key passes per night. He's playing as a DM, which is just outrageous. Massive deep progression numbers. About four tackle and interceptions, 3.8 tackles and interceptions per 90 as well. And a Fiorentina side, he's Chilean as well, so he just puts his face into tackles, which I love to see. Even when he was at Bologna last season, his numbers were impressive. 4 tackles and interceptions, 2 key passes at Bologna from deep midfield. They're 14th Fiorentina, and he's probably gettable for the right money, but he only joined in the summer. So I think, for me, Boubacar Samaré would be an ideal player. Mm-hmm. But again, you've got to convince him to join. A little bit like Mazraoui, whoever is the convincer, the contract negotiator at West Ham, has to do a fucking great job.
But I do think it'll be easier. You're like, look at the stadium, look where we are. Like, you don't have to go to Newcastle. You can play in London, like, which is a draw for young players.
If they finish 16th, I'd be looking at it if I was Boubacar Samaré and going... Wow, really?
Yeah, but at least they're up. Whereas joining Newcastle in January, you're like, we might go down. At least at the end of the year, you know that West Ham have stayed up. And you can just put a clause in your contract.
Yeah, okay, so you need to do a good job as the director of football. But I think Samaré would be my suggestion.
Great at getting deals over.
Sit alongside Rice, progress the ball.
Okay.
I think we've kind of looked at similar things here. Because like, what you want here is a guy who can defend. But primarily, like, Rice can defend and he gets on the ball a lot, but he doesn't really move the ball forward that much.
Need a progressor.
So you need a guy next to him who's going to help him out defensively, can maybe play there if Rice needs a rest, but crucially is just moving the ball forward all the time. So I've got Florian Grillitch here. And again, I think this is a pretty punchy target because he's been linked with, I think he was linked with Spurs. United. He was certainly linked with Spurs but nobody's actually come in for him. Obviously, Julian Nagelsmann's left, which is seeing Hoffenheim, yeah, like you said, like, not bad this season, but they're not nearly as good.
No.
And so I think that you kind of want to move on as quickly as possible rather than just seeing like your stock plummet as the years go on. 24 years old, Austrian. 4 tackles and interceptions per 90 last year. That was 5.6. So he can certainly defend. But I think he's actually played a little bit further forward this season, which probably makes sense with him bringing in guys like Samaseku. He's passing into the final third less, but is passing into the box more. So that kind of shows you that he's already further up the pitch when he's receiving the ball. So I like that. I like that he has the ability to play as the deepest midfielder. I like that he can play as more of an eight. And when he was targeted by Spurs, like, I mean, his progressive passing numbers are really, really good. He just moves the ball forward again and again and again. He's press resistant over a dribble a match. Huge on the ball numbers, over 60 passes, over 4 long balls a game. To me, like, Grealish is one of those guys like Haller where I was kind of like, well, there's no way West Ham get him. But now they've got Haller. Yes, I know that he isn't having the best season, but you still look at him and you're like, that's a great pickup for West Ham. And it gave me more faith that they could go and get a Grealish.
Yeah.
And Spurs were interested. They're not going to go for him now. Their midfield stacked. Like, I'm not sure which big team around Europe or which team who can offer more money than West Ham are going to come in for him. So I think this is absolutely a guy you jump on now before he's 25.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about West Ham, it would be so fascinating to see whether what sort of signings they go for in the summer. Because all the signings that we've complimented them about in the last 18 months, Haller, Fabianski, Diop, Fornals to a degree, were brought in by Hasios, their manager, their sporting director, who left mm-hmm. with Pellegrini. And whether the, you know, a lot of these players were enticed to West Ham by a manager of the quality of Pellegrini. Are these players going to want to come to West Ham in the sort of current situation and work under Moyes? I'm not quite sure.
It's your job, mate. It's your job, not our problem.
Yeah, I would
sack
Moyes.
We're giving you names, mate.
And
I'd sack Moyes and get a real manager.
And I read the other day, guess how many scouts West Ham have as a club?
I don't know, 4.
They've got 1.
Well, that's a freelance, though.
As a club, they have 1 permanent scout.
Okay, but that's like a little bit like Spurs, where Spurs at one stage like had all their scouts leave and they had like 6 guys and they had no analytics department or whatever, and yet you were seeing them linked with Lo Celso and Ndombele. They were linked with Tielemans, they were linked with Grealish, and you were kind of like, these are pretty
good
targets.
They've got someone on the line.
So they're definitely talking to somebody, like whether it's an outside consultant or what.
Okay, so I'm going to get rid of Sanchez. Carlos Sanchez.
Oh, I forgot he existed.
Why? And I'm going to get rid of Jack Wilshere as well, because his wages are...
He might well go to the MLS, I think, Jack.
God above. All right.
Yeah, not a bad move for him. Go somewhere. And I'm going to bring in Grealish, because I like the fact
cheaper. He's definitely cheaper than...
He's cheaper. Than and yeah, I think I'm going to go with Samara, actually, just because...
You're going to bring both in.
I'm going to bring both Chucking in.
80-odd mil at this, probably.
Yeah, I think they need to.
Min.
Like, genuinely, I think they need to. And I'd probably try and move on quite a few of their forward players as well.
I think you could move on Lanzini.
You could move on Lanzini. I think you could probably move on Snodgrass as well, even though he's had a very good last month.
Yeah, forgot about him.
Put some respect on Snoddy.
He's had a very good last month.
But I would say.
I'd probably get a move on with him as well. So I'd reinvest some of that money into it, and I get in Grealish and Samara, because I feel like Samara in 3 years' time, it might be one of those players that you're like, damn, we had such an opportunity to get him for 30 or 40. And now he's a £60 million player or 70. And I feel like he's got the potential to go the highest, whereas Grealish would be, you know, a bit older, 24, a bit more established, ready to instantly improve that West Ham midfield. Mm-hmm. But I like the shout of Eric Pulgar as well.
Okay, so we're moving on to forward. Did you need a striker?
Just saying, if you've got an option in there, you know, hit me up.
Okay, yeah, I've got a forward. Yeah. I mean, pre-Jared Bowen, I was thinking Ollie Watkins, as we shout out every single time. But I think Jared Bowen covers that now. So, a couple names. Shimi Avia.
He's out though right now.
He is out with the ACL problem. Yeah. But that, again, a little bit Memphis, probably puts off your Barcelonas and who was linked with him, and maybe even puts off your Atletis or your PSGs, whoever was considering a move for him, probably puts them off now. He is 25, so he's not the sort of 21-year-old potential player. Was it 10 goals at Huesca last season, 9 pre the ACL injury this season, 3.5 shots or 4 shots? So I think he would be a good cheap option, because let's face it, Osasuna aren't going to be demanding 50 mil for Shimi, especially with that ACL problem. They couldn't cash in pre the ACL, I'm not going to lie. I reckon they were happy at 6 months to go, we could cash in for Barcelona here as that Suarez replacement, but it's not going to happen. So potential. The name I really think would be a good sign for West Ham is Odson Edouard out of Celtic.
Okay.
I've only watched him a handful of times, but every time I watch him, he's comfortably Celtic's best player. And that's not saying much, but they do have a tendency to just find one gem every sort of 2 seasons, don't they? And I think Edouard might well be that gem. I've looked at his numbers compared to Moussa Dembélé and the amount of goals they were scoring, amount of assists they were getting, and it's better than Moussa Dembélé's time across the same amount of seasons in the SPL. Still only 22. This season he's got 18 in 19. He hasn't been fantastic in Europe, but he is playing for Celtic, so let's just remember
that. They're drawn in quite a difficult group as well.
And I think Given that they sold their captain and what Chris Hamill would describe as their best player potentially the last 10 years, Kieran Tierney, for 25? I think you could probably get him for a similar sort of fee.
Yeah.
25 to 20. I think maybe just because he's a striker and he's sort of a French prospect, they'd be going, we want 30. Kieran Tierney's sort of, I don't know, not undesirable, but just he's unglamorous, I would say. So I think odds on Edouard, you might have to pay a little bit more. But what I think will happen with Edouard is he'll end up going to a Lyon or a Marseille, being a star there, and then in four years you'll see him move on. So I just think if you could get him for 25 mil now, just take the risk. Take the risk of him becoming a star, because I saw a few Celtic fans as well online describe him as the best striker they've had since Larsson.
Blimey.
And they've had, I mean, Moussa Dembélé is now proving probably to be a 30 to 40 million pound striker. So even if you bring Edouard in and he flops and you sell him for 15, it's worth the risk, in my opinion. So I think Edouard is a good option at 22 to support Jarrod Bowen, because then your forward line looks like Allaire, Jarrod Bowen, and
Edouard Antonio.
And I'm not, I love
Edouard can also play as Antonio, more playing a two as
I
well.
I think Antonio's okay.
Yeah, but
at some stage you've got to be looking at.
But I still think my front four is going to be Fornals at 10, like Haller centre forward, Bowen on the right, and Anderson on the left. That's the thing. And then I feel like I agree that Edouard's, if you want a striker, Edouard's a really good option. But I feel like you're bringing in a starter then in a team that doesn't actually have space for a starter. Like, even if you drop Fornals out and say he's a rotation player, I don't know, unless you're playing 4-4-2, it's quite hard to see, and that would require Bowen going really wide right. And Bowen, I think, can cover you at centre-forward. So can Yarmolenko. Yeah. I think you can move on Antonio, but you might want to keep him in the squad. Why not? You might want to move on Ayeti. You want to, because you've got Fornals, Haller, Yarmolenko, Anderson, Bowen, Ayeti. So what I'd actually do is I'd just keep hold of one of their youngsters, Grady Diongana, who is on loan at West Brom. They're top of the, but he's on loan from West Ham, and they're top of the Championship at the moment. They've got four goals scored more than the second best attack, which is Brentford, I think.
Yeah,
he's 21
and a big slaven.
He's absolutely ridiculous. He's played about half the available minutes, but he's still got 10 goal involvement. So only two players in the squad are ahead of him there. Over two shots, two key passes, and three dribbles per 90. 0.57 expected goals and assists per 90, which is great for a young player.
Yeah,
and more importantly, he's really, really good passer. Like an elite progressive passer. Both in receiving progressive passes and playing them himself.
So where does he play? Like a 10?
He plays kind of off the left, but he can kind of play as a 10 as well. So that's perfect from my point of view. Like, he can cover a number of roles. We don't pay a penny for him. And we can actually bring in money by selling one of the guys who's taking that place right now. 2.4 passes into the penalty area a game. The best in the Prem is KDB on 3.2. 2.4... would be the fifth in the Premier League, and it would be above every player except four guys who play for Man City. Be above every Liverpool player and everybody else. Like, it's really, really good. And he's a good presser. Like, he wins. When there's this thing that StatsBomb do, pressure regains, which is like, if your team wins the ball back, I think within like 5 seconds of you pressing the ball carrier or something. And he does that like four times a game, like, which is really, really good for a forward. So I think
that's a good option.
This just solves everything, and I like we've said, spend the money in midfield, and just say, you know what, the forwards we've got plus Diongana, that is going to be enough in attacking areas, and I think it probably is.
Yes.
I think a functional midfield lets that attack go forward and just, you know, play.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Edouard you probably miss out on him. Like, even if you go for him, I think you probably miss out on him. Like, Edouard is a player Man United should have targeted in January.
Really?
When we were piss balling about looking for a centre forward, couldn't find anyone, we chucked £28 million bid at Josh King. Just spend the 25 to get Edouard.
Yeah,
it's a far better investment than Josh King, who's 28.
Yeah.
And has scored 3 goals this season, and then ended up with Ighalo. As much as I love him, Ighalo, and I really think he's going to do well.
Why do you love him?
I don't know. It's just something about him.
You're just excited.
Do you think it's a funny signing?
No, I think it's.
It is a funny signing. I'm not sure how seriously to take your delight.
There's a lot of comedy about this.
Something about the story of him coming through, like, as a Manchester United fan, the dream of playing for Man United, rejecting Tottenham Hotspur to join United. I just think this is a bloody fantastic signing.
It's easy to forget as well how good he was playing alongside Deeney in that Watford side. He was outrageous.
I think he's quite a good player. I was quite surprised that he went
United
to China.
United should have gone for odds.
The suggestion of Diongana. I read recently that his injury recently has been the key reason why West Brom's sort of drastic loss of form.
Still enough to beat West Ham, though, without Dean Garner.
Exactly.
But also, you're 21, and I think, like, yeah, you're on loan at the Championship at 21, but then you're kind of like, okay, this is the time you need to be bringing me back and giving me minutes. And if you don't, then I'm going to start thinking about leaving. Because he's good. Because now everybody knows that actually, like, the top young talents in the Championship are really, really pretty good. Yeah. So
I think it's nice on this podcast when we do these how to fixes to be quite realistic. I just don't think they've got the money to make all the signings I've suggested and Odson Edouard. So I'm actually making no forward additions. But
you're just going to bring this lad back.
Dean Garner's coming back from loan. So what have we settled on? Smaldini, Mazraoui, Samare and Grealish,
which is £120 million.
It's a pretty punchy summer.
Quite a lot. You're going to need to raise some funds.
But yeah, if you're listening, West Ham, and your one scout is listening, get on it. That's the four signings to take you, well, just back to where you probably should be.
I think those signings would actually make them really, really good. I think that squad would. I think that squad's as, every bit as good as Leicester's.
Under the right, maybe new manager. Under the right management.
Yes, but I do think that squad's as good as Leicester's.
I like it. There we have it. How to fix West Ham.
So there we have it. West Ham United and Atletico Madrid both fixed in just around about an hour, something like that. I'm not too sure. Either way, that was a lot of fun. If you enjoyed this, make sure you go and listen to our other How to Fix episodes. There's plenty out there on the airwaves. We've also put this one on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, hello. Subscribe to the channel.
Welcome.
If you're listening on the podcast app or on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well. Thanks very much for listening. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
It's extra time.
He shoots and it's a goal.